We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. It is time to take time for Jesus, and we come to you today and giving God glory and honor, praying that things went well with you since the last time. We just pray that God's will be done in your life as well as ours. We're looking unto him to be the author and the finisher of our faith. We give glory and praise unto the Father in the name of Jesus, whereby that he is the only name that we are given out of the word of God, whereby that we can call upon for salvation. So any other name is just obsolete, and it not holds no value in salvation. So we just pray that you would understand that, as I have often spoke to you about reading your word, that you will know what the word of God says firsthand, and you don't have to take some man's word for it. And you believe it and you read it for yourself, then you'll know what it says for yourself. Now, I know that there's one organization says you don't need to read it. We'll read it and interpret it. That's the wrong attitude to take of it, my friend. You need to read it for yourself, because we know that through the gospel, the reading of it and believing in it and knowing what it says will have you to believe and have salvation and the righteousness through Jesus Christ. Any man that will tell you that you just believe what he tells you, then he's wrong and he will lead you wrong. So read your Bible and believe what it says, not because I said it, but because it's what the word of God says. I would not try myself to tell you anything differently, but I'm a man like any other man, and I could be mistaken in some things that the way that I may say it may lead you to think otherwise. It's not my intentions, but I pray that you will read your Bible and see what it has to say firsthand for yourself. Let me again encourage you, read what the Bible says, and be it made known to you firsthand, then you can believe when a man says what's there, then he's righteous and is right in what he's saying. So take heed unto them that will bring in a false teachings and bring forth another religion. For Paul made mention, even though we are an angel come preaching another gospel, let him be accursed. There's only one gospel, as Paul said, that there's no other foundation can be laid other than Jesus Christ. And so build upon the word of God, my friend. Let me encourage you, read what the Bible has to say. That way you will know firsthand. But as we think about today and the day that we're living in, they are days of perilous times and the closing of this entire age, if we would only believe what the scripture says, because we're living now in the time that wherein that Jesus spoke about to the apostles there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and even in this time of Genesis, when he speaks about these things that are happening around in the world today. If we would look at them and believe what it says, read your Bible, you will know that these things that Jesus told them that the signs would come at the end of the age, we would know that we're there. So believe what the word of God says, and we will all make it by the grace of God, but it's only through his grace, through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that we have that remission of our sins. He paid yours and my sin debt. No theologian, no other man, no other person in this world is paid for your sin debt except Jesus Christ, the God of creation, which all things was made by him, and without him there was nothing made that was made. Jesus was God manifested in the flesh and came and died for you and I, as the word says. So believe what the word of God says, not because I say it. I would that you would believe what the word of God says, and that way you can be assured of that which is right and give God glory and praise. So as you contemplate on this, be it made known that we'll give you the scriptures and the finding of it in case we run out of time. In Genesis, the 19th chapter, it tells us about the Sodom and Gomorrah thing. Matthew 24 tells us about the great tribulations and these things, and we don't know the day. It also speaks about the time of Noah and therefore, and it also in Mark, signs of the end, Luke 17 and 20, when the kingdom of God shall come, and we look in the 26th verse, and you'll find that he speaks of Sodom and Gomorrah and the time of Noah, and we realize that these things is kind of controversy to some people, but it's the word of God, and if you stand on his word and truth, you may receive persecution, but if you're persecuted for his name's sake, then you'll know that things is right between you and the Lord. But if you just shun these things and seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose it for his name's sake, then you'll find it. So be it made known to you. And remember what Paul wrote in the first chapter of the Romans about these things. And when Jesus spoke to him and said, as it was in the days of Noah and the days of Lot there in Luke, we're living in those days, my friend, the marriage, the eating and drinking and giving in marriage and these things and going about in corruption ways and all all that. We got to realize that we got to understand that God's word is truth, irregardless of what some of these atheists said. There is a God we're going to give answer to, and you're going to find that in Revelations 20 and 11, to stand before the white judgment throne of God, and wherein that you need your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, otherwise you be cast into hell therewith, which is the second death. Even if you died before then, you brought back from the dead, you'll be cast again into hell, which is the second death. So, realize what these people come contradictory to what the word of God says, then you will find that they are wrong and you need to know what the scripture says. So I encourage you, read your Bible. Now I've got a 1611 copy of the scriptures there that was made out then. And these words that I find in scriptures, the same thing that is in our modern day, you might say, King James Version, wrote it in English language. I find that the 1611 edition of the King James Version is also has the same thing in it as we do read in the New King James Version as well as in the original. So believe me, my friend, these atheists that comes along with this CIA or whatever they call it, and some of the ex-people that have been in political places wants to join forces with them to persecute the Christian people for calling upon the name of the Lord. Remember this, the Pharisees and the scribes persecuted the apostles even to the Lord Jesus Christ, denied him, and had him nailed to a cross. So therefore, you and I may be persecuted for his name's sake, but be steadfast and unmovable, standing up on the promises of God, and if they take your life, you will just be therefore given life through Jesus Christ. So read your Bible. Find out what it says. And my wife's got something other here for her. I'm going to turn it over to her, and she's going to give you what the Lord has laid on her heart. Here's my wife, Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. I just thank God that he's given us another day that we can share with you what the Lord has laid on our heart. And we've heard this scripture many times before in 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Does that sound like something that America needs? They need to turn from their wicked ways. Every day there's more and more people that are approving an ungodly lifestyle and everything, and that's abomination. And we are headed down the broad road of destruction. And the article today is Turn, 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 and it's from the Martinsburg Herald, and I do have permission to read it, and I'll read part of it. But we go back to a definition that's that says that sin is active or passive, resents it to the will of God. If God tells us what to do and we do it, or if he tells us what to do and we don't do it, it is sin. We know what we are doing, saying, thinking, and being is sin. We need to repent. Repent means to stop, turn around, and go the other way. So if I'm stealing and all that entails to stop, I need to quit stealing. Turn away from stealing, begin giving what others need. If I'm lying, I need to stop lying. Turn from lying and speak only the truth. If I am unkind, I need to stop being unkind, turn away from unkindness, and be kind to others. You get the picture of what I mean? Remind yourselves of a three-legged race. To win, you need to keep in step with your partner. It helps put your arm around your partner. One of you counts. So hug God and let him count, and you simply keep step with him, and you will win life's race. And if you read in 2 Kings 22 and 23 and 2 Chronicles 34 and 35, it concerns kinghood, Josiah. He became king at a tender age. His grandfathers and his father, the kings before him, were wicked. Instead, Josiah turned to God and began doing what he could to bring his people back to God. He eliminated many wicked practices. He sought reform, and after ruling for almost 20 years of continuous reform, the word of God was found. Josiah heard of the judgments of God pronounced against the wickedness that his people had been doing for 50 plus years before he became king. He humbled himself. He wept and prayed and sought God's face. He had already turned from wickedness. The word from God's prophetess was that the judgments are sure, the punishment would come, but not until after Josiah's life ended. So the possible answer to our question, is there hope for America? Maybe judgment is coming, but if we truly humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face, and turn from wickedness, it may not come in our lifetime. And of course, I cannot give a guarantee, but I can guarantee this. If we do what God says, even if we are caught up in God's judgment, in the end, he will bless us for being faithful to him. And I just thank the Lord for the lady up in Canada that wrote to us, and she said, there are many struggles that I've gone through, but God has given me a solution, and he can do that for anyone who calls on him. It is easy for believers to do. I pray for those who do not know him. And another one is from here in the United States somewhere. It said, I enjoy the Comptons broadcast. You folks help me out of my sadness and into the light of Jesus. And I just thank God for those that have sent us emails and encourages. It encourages us to keep pressing on, as Paul said, press on, press on. I press on to the high calling. And I want to share a little, you'll get a message out of it, I'm sure, but it said, what does your heart say? A pastor entered a crowded banquet hall where a man wishing to embarrass him rose and suddenly called out quite loudly so all could hear and said, there is no God. The pastor went to him, calmly laid his hand on the man's shoulder and said, friend, what you have just said is not new at all. The Bible said that more than 2,000 years ago. The man replied, I never knew that the Bible made such a statement. The pastor informed him of Psalm 14, verse 1, tells us, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But there's a difference between that fool and you. He was quite modest about it and said it only in his heart. And he didn't go about yelling it out in a crowded room for everyone to hear. And if you would like to write to us, it would greatly appreciate it, as I said before. And if this has been a blessing to you with the broadcast and you want to share it with other ones, you can go online to www.phoenixbroadcasting.com, click click on Take Time for Jesus, and you'll see all the messages that we have preached since way back in 2012, I believe. And if you would like to help us, or if you would like to send us something that would encourage us to encourage others, you can send it to Take Time for Jesus, Post Office Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. Or it would be greatly appreciated if you would email us at ecomption31@yahoo.com and just encourage us to, you know, tell us what you think. If you don't like us, you can tell us that too. Both of us have, you know, broad shoulders and we're not thin-skinned or anything, but I just praise God for, you know, people say, how are you today? And I said, I'm blessed. Boy, I wish I was that way, you know, some of them say. And I said, well, I woke up this morning, I opened my eyes and I could see around. I got out of my bed and I put my feet on the floor and I could move them and stomp them. And I said, I went to the mirror and I could see my reflection. And the dogs were barking and kissing me and loving on me. And I said, wow, I am blessed. Praise God. Here's Brother Earl.
Praise the Lord. Well, we just thank God today to know that through His mercy and through His grace, we have salvation. And because of that, that we give Him praise and honor. There's no other name that I know of or given in the Word of God that whereby that we can call upon and have salvation. Jesus paid the price for us as well as He did for anyone. He paid it for the whole world. Even to those people that are in sin, He loves the soul. But my friend, He does not care for the sins. He's not going to bless you in your sins. He's not going to receive you in your sins, but He will bring a blessing upon you if you repent from your sins and stop the sin that you've been born into, because the Bible says that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We have need of a salvation, and God made that possible to us through Him coming into this world as a man called Jesus, as the scripture says, the Son of God, to wherein that He dwelt in the flesh and became the Son of God, there whereby that He was crucified for yours and my salvation, because without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. So you got to understand why I'm telling you to read your Bible to find out firsthand. It's no man sitting on any seat, wherever he may be, Seven Hills or any place else, that declares that he's the ultimate thing of God's blessings and he is God on earth. He's a liar and the truth ain't in him. But he's going to stand before God as well as I for his accusations as well as I will. But my friend, today, if we would read what the Bible says, then you'll know that them that uphold people that sin and tell you that when one dies in his sins and he's carried into purgatory, but you can pay so much money and everything and they'll pray him out of purgatory, well, that's a bunch of bull in my book, excuse me. But nevertheless, Bible says that once you're there, and when Jesus spoke about the rich man and Lazarus, He said there was a great gulf fixed him. Them that would can't come up there, and them that was up there can't go down there. So that tells me that them people telling you that they'll pray you out of purgatory, which is hell in another definition, is just after your money. Because he can't do that, because if God puts you there, ain't no prayer going to get you out. He's going to put the just and the unjust where they need to be, and he will make the right judgment, and he's not going to back off of it. So be it made known to you that once you're there, you're there. If you fall in corruption, you're going to lie in corruption. You'll be there from then on. But in the scriptures, we find that these things that people uphold in today, even to our government and our judges that are coming forth and making it all right to more or less sin, and it's okay. We're living in a modern world, so we should make adjustments for these things, and even to the religious people should make adjustments and to find out that these same-sex marriages or homosexual deals and everything is a new phase in religion. Well, let me tell you, my friend, it's nothing new. The Bible condemned it back in the days of Genesis when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for that business. And God hasn't changed his mind a bit. And it don't make no difference. It was way back 2,000 years ago or better. But I want you to know that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his word will stay the same. Because he comes on to this, and when he told come to Abraham and told him what he was going to do, Abraham inquired of him for 50 souls. And he said for 50 he would spare. Come on down till he got to 10, and he wouldn't go no lower. And he thought maybe that even Lot had gone into this type of lifestyle. Some of his daughters did. It was two of them that were younger. And he even offered them in the place of when the people of Sodom wanted to go into the angels and everything to come to know them, which was bisexual orientation there. But he offered his two virgin daughters that they would leave the two angels alone. But they smote them blindness, and still they groped to try to get to them there, my friend. So this thing has come up to the nostrils of God then, and it's a stink. And I believe it's beginning to smell real rank in God's nostrils even today, because the whole world is going crazy about this, and the laws, our judges and everything are making laws that uphold this kind of ruling that God said was an abomination to him. And them that do those things are unrighteous, and out of that kind of sin comes death, hell, and brimstone, you might say. But through that is sin of all other kinds of adultery and rape and stealing and killing, one thing or another. Because once the person has allowed the devil to take him over and control him in those matters, he'll take him into all kinds of things. My friend, it's time we begin to realize that the word of God is going to be fulfilled, because it speaks of these things even over in the New Testament when he brought it forth there, and God put a judgment on there, on them there in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he rained fire and brimstone down on them. And as it was in the days of Noah, Noah worked on the ark for 120 years. And when he got it finished, God told him, he said, Noah, come into the ark. But during this 120 years, the people most likely made fun of him and all kinds of things and persecuted him, no doubt. And they will, you and I, if we stand for the word of God and against sin, they will, you and I. And there's other preachers that are preaching the same thing. And we got to realize that the word of God is going to be fulfilled, my friend, whether you or I one like it or not. Now, I don't like these situations come up, but I realize that it's the word of God that's going to be fulfilled. And so I got to accept it as that and be prepared for the consequences of what's going to happen to them that heed not to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're going to suffer the loss, but them that it stand true for the will of God and allow his will to be done in their life and have repented from their sins and come to the Lord and been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb and experienced that rebirth in Jesus' name and being baptized in his name, receiving of the Holy Ghost and with evidence of it speaking in tongue. Now, you people out there with some of your denominations deny this and say we're an occult, but now you can be called into God's judgment on account of that and find out that you're the ones that's wrong and we're the ones that's right. But so, nevertheless, we got to realize that the word of God is going to be fulfilled and it's going to come to pass. And it's going to be, and even though as we know today, if we would look into the scriptures that I've asked you to read your Bible, we'll know that when he said in the days of Noah, well, there's sin, marriage and giving in marriages and everything. And this they done up until Noah was told to come into the ark. 7 days of grace remained the door open and nobody entered therein. And when God shut the door and the rain began to fall, there was no doubt of prayer meeting going on in high places, but it was too late. They was carried away in the flood. And so when it come time for that to be, and Jesus spoke about it in the others there, in the gospel there about Noah's time. And then when he come to Luke, he made mention about Noah's time and also of Lot's day in Sodom and Gomorrah. That when in Noah's day, he was said there was eating and drinking and marriage and giving in marriages until the flood come and took them away. They didn't know until the flood carried them away. So shall it be in the days of, so was it in Lot's day, that they were eating and drinking, having all this other marriage and giving in marriage and doing whatever, until the fire fell, fire and brimstone fell from God and destroyed them. So my friends, we're looking at these days today with ever about 18 or 19 states now confirming that it's okay for men to marry men and women to marry women and all these things, but they are disregarding the righteousness that we have in God's law, and these things are against God's laws and his commandments, and they're not just ignoring what God has to say about these things. They are too are going to be called into the judgment and give an answer for their way that they are doing, because the scripture says that them that find favor with them that do such a thing, they're all worthy of death. So God's got it all under control. I don't have to do anything. I'm just called to preach the gospel. He didn't tell me to take up a sword and go out there and start cutting heads or shooting people or anything. I think that's wrong. God's got his time set when he's going to pass judgment upon people that sin, no matter what it is, little or big, whether it's Sodom and Gomorrah type sins or stealing and killing people, he's going to pass judgment upon them. And so I'm going to leave that up to him and just pray that God will help me to be what he wants me to be and walk in his ways of righteousness for his name's sake, giving praise and honor unto him and accepting these things that I cannot change and changing the things I can, but asking for wisdom to know the difference. And I believe he's given me that. I can't change the people's sin. I can't change what's going on. But God is letting these things go in because it was wrote. And we're living in those days now. If you just realize and read the word of God and find out that when the apostles there and there asked the Lord, what would be the signs of the coming of the end of the age? When he got them out there and told them about when they begin to show him the temple there that Solomon built and how magnificent it was and how beautiful it was. And he said that there was come a time that there would not one stone be left upon another. And we know that Tiberius of Rome come in and tore it all down. They were looking for the gold and stuff, I suppose. But anyway, it was a prophecy being fulfilled in 70 AD. And so if we look at the other things that Jesus told them about, he said there would come great tribulations. In Matthew 24 and 29, verse 29, he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, then shall they see the signs of the coming of the Son of Man. But he told him, he said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places, and these things it must be before he returns. So we're living now. Look at how the world is in turmoil. Even today, that has been for years now, since wars and all kinds of wars. They thought the World War I would be the end of all wars, but hey, how many has it had been since then? Nations against nations, kingdom against kingdom, and they're doing that today. Look at the Middle East and around and about in different other places and how one kingdom is fighting against another. It's all the fulfillment of God's word, my friend. We're living now in the last day. It's time to repent. It's time to seek God. Seek him and his righteousness. And seek after him, and we'll know that we've got some assurance there that we're a part of the kingdom of God, been born again of the water and of the spirit, and accepting him as our Savior, we have hope in Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory, which he will bring us to the knowledge of his truth if we will only read his word and believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he goes on and he tells them these things. It's not only there in just Matthew. It also in Mark, Luke, and John. It tells us, and even in Revelations, it says that the time would come that the Antichrist, or the man of sin, or the beast, you might say, is going to make war with the saints and overcome them for a period of 3.5 years. We read these things in the scriptures, and we know that these things are about to be. That's why I encourage you to read your Bible and find out firsthand. There's no amount of money that's going to pay you out of purgatory if you get there, or out of hell if you fall into the clutches of sin and die in that way. There's no amount of money. God don't need your money. He don't want it. Hey, when the streets are, the asphalt on the streets are gold, and he's got it all, he made it all, so why worry about it? There's no amount of silver or gold. When Peter and John stood up at the man there on the gate called Beautiful, going into the temple there, when they stood there, and this man there, lame from his mother's womb, and he come up there and said that he reached out for some alms, a piece of money to help him sustain him for another day. Peter and John said, "Look on us." And they looked to him as if to receive something. He said, "Silver and gold have I none, but that I have, I give unto you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk." And instantly his strength came into his legs, and he rose up and rejoiced in the spirit and give God glory in everything. Well, they was persecuted that way. Well, they called before the council, the scribes and the Pharisees, supposed to be religious people, but they were hypocrites, as John called them, a bunch of vipers. Jesus called them hypocrites. So therefore, when they come in before them and to give an answer to them, they said they warned them not to preach in that name anymore. So what are we doing today? Even to our government is forbid the chaplains to pray in the name of Jesus, and as many other things that have come along and doing this same thing, and they are trying to disperse the name of Jesus and have done out of our schools and everything. They put prayer out of the schools and invited the devil in with his guns. So now, what are we at? Where are we at today? We're living in the last days. Whether you want to believe it or not, it ain't going to change the fact that we are. Now, to believe it and accept it and pray and ask God to forgive you if you're in everything, and receive of him for forgiveness of your sins, and everything will be to your advantage. And God's, you know, God's loving and his kindness towards mankind that he created in his own image. And some people says, "Oh, God's so loving, he ain't going to cast anybody into hell or torment." Don't you be fooled by that lie the devil come up with and stand behind the pulpit making accusation of that thing. Same as we're standing up and raising your hand, "Lord Jesus, come into my life, your own way to glory." Jesus told Nicodemus he must be born again. And that forth, it tells me that you need to repent. You need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You got to turn from your sins and your ways of sin and accept God's laws and be favorable to him and obey him and his commandments instead of man's theology and all this that some of these people that teaches in school. Paul was a man learned. He learned at Gamaliel's feet, but when he didn't know anything about Jesus, when he was on the road to Damascus, he was after putting people in jail that called upon his name. And he had authority from the synagogues to do this, the high priest, if you will, to do this. But on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus, a great light. And he fell to the ground, and when he heard the voice, said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He said, "Lord, who are you? Who art thou?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, of whom thou persecute." It's hard to kick against the prick. But he said, when Paul went into Damascus, Ananias come and prayed for him. The scales fell from his eyes, but he went out into the wilderness, out into Arabia, in a desert place, and he got a revelation from Jesus Christ. It taught him what the scripture says, and he came forth and telling them in Romans there in the first chapter about the things that are going on today in the world today. Then he spoke about men with men and women with women, leaving the natural use of them and going after the lust of their own hearts and the flesh to do these things. And it's unseemly to God, and God has forbidden it. And he condemned it in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he also condemn it in this day when his appearing. And them that do such things is going to be judged by the righteous judge, which is Jesus Christ. We got to realize, my friend, that these things are just a part of the beginning of sorrow. He said, when you see all these things, that it's not the end, not yet. This was just the beginning of sorrow. But by and by, that these other things are going to happen. We was looking in the news there, and we see that the sun is even having convulsions there and throwing radiation out towards the earth. In 2012, there was such a convulsion came out that if it had hit the earth, so they say, would have set us back as far as we were back in the 18th century. You wouldn't have had your cell phone and your iPod and all that kind of stuff is what I'm saying. You'd be back plowing a mule instead of driving a tractor. You'd be riding in a wagon, wagons and pulled by horses instead of riding in your Cadillacs and flying in your airplane. That's what it amounted to. So now, who's right and who's wrong? Is these things that people are teaching that God is so loving that he's not going to punish anybody? Then, my friend, you're badly mistaken. He's going to bring sin under subjection. And the last part of sin, the enemy of God, is going to be death when he puts it all under his foot. You see, he became man and walked among man. He died as a man, but he was put in the tomb and he arose and he is alive forevermore. So he came out victoriously over death, hell, and the grave. So he went into hell. He preached to them that was in captive in the heart of the earth. So that tells me he went there somewhere or another, according to the scriptures. He preached to them that received him. They came out. But them that didn't receive him, they're still there, if that be the case. And you paying the priest over there money to get your friend out of purgatory, you can forget that. Keep your money and use it for something to be worthwhile to you, because it ain't going to help your friend that if he's in hell. It ain't going to help him a bit. He's just putting money in the priesthood pocket, because they say that the richest denomination is. So why you want to give your money to him for foolishness when you can keep it and use it for yourself? But I'm telling you, my friend, the scriptures cannot be broken. They're going to be fulfilled, whether we like it or not. The things that's coming upon the world is God has warned us about these things, and we need to realize that it cannot be changed. God has said it, and his word is bond to him. He has made it a promise unto the world that in righteousness they can have eternal life, but in sin they will be destroyed. So now, which will it be? If you've got to make the decision. God gave you that right to choose. And so if you choose to serve him, you've choose life. But if you choose to disobey him, then you've chose death. Plain and simple. It's up to you and I. And I choose to serve the Lord. As Joshua told the people when they started to enter into the promised land there, when he said, choose you this day to whom you will serve, whether it be God on the other side or the God on the inside. And when he said, as far as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So it's up to you. It's your choice. God made us that way. We can choose. Even to the angels that was in the greatness of their state, they chose to leave their estate that they was established in. Lucifer, according to the scriptures, the most beautifulest angel there was. He was perfect in all his pipes, according to the scriptures. But one day his pride got into him, and he decided to carry a third part of the angels that was with him into a quest against God to overthrow the throne of God, and he got kicked out. So the place that's called hell was prepared for him and his angels. But if you want to go there, all you got to do is not believe in God. But if you want to shun it, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent, and you can have life eternal with him. Otherwise, you're going to be out in the dark. But I want to encourage you to read your Bible, encourage you to seek after the kingdom of God. Today is the day of salvation. You and I ain't got no promise of tomorrow. I'm over 80 years old, and I just thank God for every day of my life that he has gave me and he's blessed me. And it all ain't been peaches and cream, but he has still blessed me, supplied my need, even before I become to know him as I know him now. He still watched over me for some reason or another, and I thank him for it. He didn't let me die in my sins. He brought me into the place that we're in that I realized how much I needed him, and repented and asked him to forgive me of my unrighteousness and my sins and come into my life and help me to serve him with everything that is within me, with all that I have, because all I am by the grace of God, and all I have came from him. The devil tried to destroy me several times, but God interceded for me, and I'm still kicking, and I thank God for it. I ain't kicking as high as I used to, but as I tell people, I said, I can't jump the fence now, but if they'll open the gate, I can get out. So it's time that people realize that it's only by the grace of God that we are what we are, and it's by his grace we're saved through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Not in that he will save us in our sins, but he will save us from our sin. So we need to realize that we need to come to the place that we're in, that God had made a judgment on them that sins, and he said that the sin is going to bring forth death. When, if you want to live for eternity, you got to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many in the scriptures have asked, how can I receive eternal life? What can I do in many things? And one of them was a rich man. He came there and asked him what he could do that he might inherit eternal life. And Jesus knew he was rich, and he was rolling in the dough, so to say. And he told him, he said, if you would be saved and follow him, in other words, he'd go sell that you have and give to the poor, and you will have riches in glory. Well, the man was very wealthy, undoubtedly, but his sadness, he walked away. And his soul was required of him. And where would he spend eternity? Mm-hmm. Evidently, he went to hell. The other rich man in Lazarus, he wouldn't even give Lazarus a crumb that fell from the table. But Lazarus died and was born into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died, and in hell he lifted up and wanted Lazarus to come and dip his finger in the water and cool his tongue, for he's tormented in the flame. Abraham told him, remember, when you were there, you had all the luxuries and everything. Lazarus didn't have nothing. Now he's comforted and you're tormented. Besides that, there's a great gulf fixed between you. You can't come up here and Lazarus can't come down there. But you've got what you justly reward, and Lazarus has got what he justly received. So therefore, my friend, remember, the scripture cannot be changed. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would suggest to you and to get acquainted with him. Read your Bible and get to know him as a personal relationship, just you and him. Calling upon him, repenting of your sin, not just merely raising your hands and saying, I believe and this, and going ahead and doing whatever, and you think that you all right. If you believe in the God, then you're doing well. The devil believes also in trim. But because he believes, he's not going to enter into the kingdom of God. He was thrown out of there. So just because you believe in God, you cannot continue in your sins and expect to come into the kingdom of God. So we got to repent. You got to be born again, as he told Nicodemus. My friends, it's plain and simple if you'll just read your Word of God. Let me encourage you to read your Bible. Get it out and read it and see for yourself. It don't take my word for it or no other TV preacher or nobody else, a radio or whatever. Read it for yourself. I wouldn't under no circumstances intentionally tell you differently, but nevertheless, if you read it for yourself and you'll say that Brother Earl is telling me the truth, that's what the Bible says. And so with others, it tells you the same thing. You can follow them up. But if you don't know what the Bible says, you don't know whether they're telling you the truth or not. But believe me, friend, there's some of them out there that's telling you the truth. There's some of them out there that all they want is what they can get out of you. And they churches have went, organizations have gone and they use that money that you prosper them with to buy condominiums, $3 million here and $4 or $5 million somewhere else and live in a lavish lifestyle and off of the sweat of your brow, off of your earnings and off of your back. But them that would be prosperous in the gospel don't necessarily mean that they are right in the sight of God because they're not good stewards over God's money when they go and do things like that. They're living in a luxury lifestyle and they're going to give an answer to it. And you, if you are backing that kind of lifestyle up and going by what they tell you and you don't read the Word of God, you giving unto them, you may be called into judgment for backing up such things. That's why I said these judges and these lawyers that are making laws and the government making laws for this homosexual thing, marriage and same-sex marriages, and all of them are making laws against God's laws and them people going and waving the banner that they've got, the flag that God showed up. Noah there, a covenant that he put for him, a rainbow, that they're showing that they're, what their lifestyle is, God's going to call them into judgment. And them that have favor with them, such as them that are making laws to uphold their unlawful deeds as far as God's concerned and their sins and pushing it over on people that tries to do what's right for as far as God's concerned and for the world. They're trying to make laws to uphold them. They can't say anything against it. So while that there's time that I can still say, this is sin, and God's going to call them into account for it on the white judgment throne of God in Revelations 20 and 11, they're all going to stand before the judgment of God, the white throne judgment. And even death, hell, and the grave is going to give up the dead. And they're going to be brought forth, and they're going to stand before the righteous judge, Jesus Christ, and they're going to give an account. And them that their name is not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, according to the Scriptures, if it's not found there, my friend, he said, they'll be cast again into hell, which is the second death. Now, it's up to you, and it's up to me to choose you this day to whom you will serve. If you want to be in the kingdom of God, you got to repent. You got to live a Christian lifestyle, not a so-called Christian, but do separately from sin. You can't live in the middle of the road and expect to inherit anything because there's no middle. It either you're for God or you're against Him. So middle of the road ain't going to get it. Standing straddle of the fence ain't going to get it. That you fall off on either side if you're on the fence. And when it comes time to stand before God, you're going to fall off on the sinful side, and there you'll be judged sinful. But if you're righteous in the sight of God, repenting of your sins, and accepted the blood of Jesus Christ, it covered you and washed you white from your sins and everything, then you can have eternal life. But you got to go by what God has to say. Not because what the devil has put in your heart from the beginning, because we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We needed a Savior, and God provided a Savior for us when He came in the flesh to die for sinful men and women as we were, because we was born in it. And the first Adam was made out of the dust of the earth, and he brought us into sin by disobedience of one thing that God had told him not to eat of the tree in the midst of the garden of right and wrong. But he did. So it put us all in the rebellious towards God. It put us all that needed salvation. The blood of animals couldn't do away with our sins. But God, in his time and allotted time, in the fullness of time, he sent his only son into this world to die for sinful men. And only through that name of Jesus and through that shed blood that we have remission of sin. So he call upon any other name other than Jesus for salvation, you just beating the wind, you ain't getting nowhere, because there's only one name given. No other name given among men whereby that we can be saved. So these other gods and these other names that people go by and killing people and thinking they please them and they gonna get a river of honey and seven virgins, well, don't you believe that lie either, because that's a lie out of hell and the devil's the father of it. Just like a lot of these other things that's come down the line, that they believe that you're going to go to heaven whether you want to or not, or I'm just as good as anybody. This is the way God made me. That's what some of these people that says that we call homosexuals. Well, this is the way God made me and everything. Well, that's a lie. God didn't make no mixed up people like that. He made Adam, and then he take the rib from Adam and made a woman, and it was joined together there in God's sight. And he made male and female, and it told them to go and replenish the earth. And there's no way in the world that man can have another man or another woman can get another woman pregnant. It just doesn't happen, my friend. It's against God's will and it's against God's laws. It's nature, and they are against it. Nature itself shows you that it's wrong if it would only follow nature. You don't see these things happening with animals. Oh, my friend, it's time we take a lesson from nature. You don't see two jackasses going together, although we got the White House is full of them up there. But nevertheless, we need to understand that we need to come to the place of repentance, asking God to forgive us of our sins, asking God to take charge of our lives. Bring us to the place that we're in, that God has rule of our life. Even behind the pulpit, some of these preachers are preaching laughter and fun and all this, telling jokes and everything. They're doing it to please you in order that they may receive the pat on the back or a better offering or something like that. They won't tell you about sin. That's why I guess that we don't get too much mail from them. They don't like what we preach. And a lot of other preachers are preaching the same thing. I don't know where they get much mail or not. But nevertheless, God is the one we're going to have to give an account to. You and I, we're going to have to give an account. And if you disown me and persecute me for his name's sake because I tell you the truth, then that's going to be between you and God. But as long as God gives me the breath and makes it possible for me, I'm going to preach against sin, plain and simple. And that way that I can inherit eternal life. But if I fail to give God glory and praise and honor him, then I'll be judged unrighteous and I'll get what's due to me. And that'll be punishment for eternity. I don't want that. I don't want it for you either. God loved you enough to die for you as well as he did me. He doesn't love you enough to bring you into his kingdom, even in your sin. He died to save you from your sins, and it's still good today. So, my friend, let me tell you, you need to repent. Read your Bible. Let me encourage you to read your Bible. But if you desire to write to us, we would appreciate it. My wife has given you the address there. And just let me encourage you to read your Bible. Get in tune with your Bible. Get in tune with God through the Word of God. Believe what it says. Repent of your sins. Accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, calling upon him in faith in the finished works of Calvary, in that shed blood that he shed for yours and my sins, calling upon him with faith and believing for them that we need to walk by faith. And that way, we can assure ourselves, as God had assured us, those that have repented and come into the light of the gospel and standing up for the truth, we can have eternal life. But if you don't stand for the truth, you'll fall for anything. But God is not going to receive you in your sins. He will forgive you. He loves you enough to forgive you, even to them people that are committing the things. If they would come to God and forsake the sins, He will give them forgiveness. But I've seen some of these people that they go, they say that they repented and they turn back into the old lifestyle, and they're preaching, supposed to be preaching God's word. It's abomination in the sight of God with such a lifestyle as that. And God's going to be the final judgment, and He's going to cast them into hell, even as He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He's going to do likewise to those, and to those, according to the gospel that Paul preached, them that have favor of, and that includes the lawyers and judges and everything that makes laws for them and uphold them in their sins. So, my friend, it's time we take time for Jesus, looking to Him to be the author and the finisher of our faith. Repent and let God come into your life. May God richly bless you until next time. May the God of creation, the Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on you. In Jesus' name we pray.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first